Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. The title this morning here is Kingdom Building Marriages. And like Wilmer said, it's more than just our own connection, our own marriage, husband and wife. It goes farther than that. And we've heard a lot this weekend about God. He's the author. He's the giver of life. He's directing, gives us the power to do that. And we heard a lot too about praying together as couples and building each other up and looking for strength from God, the only source of life and strength. I thought maybe we'd do that this morning here just for a few minutes. If we all stood up and just pray together as couples for a few minutes, pray for your wife, your husband, your marriage together. So go ahead, let's stand up a few minutes and we'll go from there. Yeah, building the kingdom with our marriages. It's like Wilmer said, it's more than just ourselves. We're part of the kingdom of God, and it's God's kingdom that we're building. And if our lives, if they do not include God, it will be empty. We can try to have a perfect marriage without God, but it's not going to happen if he's not part of it. If God's not part of it, we're wasting our time. I heard a testimony some time ago here that the fact of the Christian life, that in the Christian life, we're in building the kingdom of God. There are no spectators. We're not sitting on the sidelines watching it happen. We can't be spectators. That's true in marriage as well. We're either building or we're tearing down. We can't be complacent. And that complacency, that'll take a toll on our marriage, and we will not be building. And also, we've been hearing about we're image bearers of God. We're created in the image of God, and we're here to glorify him in our personal lives and also in our marriages. And God is that author. And seeing marriages last for an extended period of time it stands out in the community. We all know that it's not easy to be in a close relationship with another human being and make it work. It takes work. And here in the past year, I'd hired a man from the community. One of the things that impressed me, he was married to the same woman for 14 years. And that's not as common as it once was in the general society around us. And why is that? Why is that uncommon? It's because our society is becoming more godless and more self-centered and not keeping God's word as the moral platform of how to live life. People are typically normally selfish, and when we serve self, life becomes a wreck. I think we've looked at Ephesians 5 a number of times over the weekend, but I want to look at it again and see how we can live our lives to build God's kingdom. And yeah, I think I'll read verses 21 through 33, starting verse 21 of chapter 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Here it talks a fair amount about submission, submitting, and that is required of all of us. It's not easy. It's not easy to submit to each other. Even Jesus, when he was here on earth, in Hebrews 5:8, said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience, submitting to God. And the sooner we can learn that as individuals, mainly to submit to God and submit to where he has us in life, submit to the roles that he's called us to fulfill, and then submit to each other. I believe Ralph said this morning that we're all under authority. That is true. We all need to submit to authority of one sort or another. And ultimately, that authority is, we're all under the authority of God. We're under the authority of the church, the bride of Christ. And here in this passage, it's comparing a marriage to Christ and the church, that marriages are representing how Christ and the church work, and our marriages are not an end in themselves. God has designed marriage. He's instituted it, gave direction for it, so that we can represent his body here on earth, Christ in the church, and how that works. Our marriages are very important, but we're representing something even more important, Christ in the church. And living out a godly marriage shows how that should work. And so what are some examples here we can look in to see how we are to show that representation? We can look through here in Ephesians and see how Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. And so us as men, we can start with us. Christ, he sacrificed, he gave himself for the church. And us as men, we're called to do that as well. We need to sacrifice for our wives. First one would be, we need to make sure her needs are taken care of before our own needs. And we can see that Christ has done that. He's thinking about his bride, the church, and doing what he needs to take care of it. And we need to take care of our wives. And then also, in verse 27 there, about Christ wants to present the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy. And we can't do that for our wives. We can't present them perfect, but we can pray for them. We can ask God to do that for them, and we can give them that encouragement to where we can help them be all that they need to be by Christ's power. And another example is Christ spent time with his Father to know what his will was. We can read through the Gospels many times. He was up early and spent time with God to know God's will. Us as husbands, we need to spend time with God to know what he would teach, what he would direct, where he wants us to go, so that we can lead our families, lead our wives in the right way. And then obviously the one that's here quite a bit is about loving our wives, even as Christ loved the church. And that's all part of building the kingdom. Obviously, we think a lot about our children and how we love our wives is how our children view Christ loving the church. But it's not only our children. There's others around that we can influence, and that we do have a role model to play there, and we can present that picture of Christ in the church. But we're men. We're not perfect. We need we make mistakes. We need help. We need you ladies' encouragement. And so for the ladies' side of things, the church submits to Christ as its head. The wives are called to submit to their husbands here. It talks about that. Like the church submits to Christ and builds his kingdom. We're here building building the kingdom, Christ's kingdom. And for you ladies, that would be, I think, an example that find out what your husband's vision, what his goal is in life, and get behind him and support him in that, and be that helpmeet. Again, we're men. We're not perfect. We're not Christ. So we make mistakes. We need your input, your direction. But find out what your husband's vision is and support that. Men are called to be the leaders and to do the heavy lifting and to make hard decisions. But we need you ladies to help us figure that out sometimes. We need to, as men and women, submit to God, first of all, for where God has placed us, but then submit to each other as well. And as we figure out married life and live the way God has called us to, it's a powerful witness to the world around us. We can live that joyful, God-honoring marriage. There is, I think, not a greater witness than that. We are fairly involved in our community, and how many times I remember children that are in our homes or observing us, they are amazed that Wendy and I are married for however many years. One of our anniversaries, probably 15, 20 years, something like that. One of the children said, "Is that some kind of a record? She never heard of anybody being married that long." It's a powerful witness. But there is only one way that we can be together and live joyfully for years. It's only by allowing the Spirit of God to lead, and by His grace and strength, and following the principles in God's word, that we can have those God-honoring, kingdom-building marriages. And God gives us instructions how to make that happen. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, because God gives us instruction in His word on how to live. It's not necessarily a list of do's and don'ts, but He gives us directions. It's for our good. It's not to make our lives difficult, but it's for our good, and also to present Him to the world. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11 through 20. "For this commandment which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that we should say, 'Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days. And thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." This here chapter is obviously talking to the children of Israel as they were moving into the promised land there, and God had given to them a lot of direction in life. But it applies to us as well. God gives us direction in our marriages, and if we follow God's way, there are blessings that go with it. I'm not preaching a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel here. If you do this, it'll be an easy road. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, God gives us directions for our good, not for to make life difficult. And if we do follow His direction, naturally things go better. But we still have hard things to work out. But he gives us the grace and power to work those things out. He gives us that direction as we look through his word and interact with the church, the bride of Christ. We can learn how he would have us live. And God is very interested in each one of us individually and our marriage as well. And he has that direction. I think it was Wilmer that said that we need to take care of ourselves first so that we can be a blessing to those around us. That's not a selfish thing. That is, if we're broken and tore up, we're not going to be able to help those around us. So it's good to invest in our marriages. We have to for building the kingdom. We need to invest in our spouse. Our spouse should have even higher priority than our children. Our children are very important, but we need to invest in our spouse first of all so that we can have a home, you know, a relationship that builds them up as well. And Wendy and I, our children are growing up, but it's still a little bit painful to leave them behind, even a weekend like this, that you should be there taking care of your children. But you do need to work on your relationship and pursue it and feed it so that we can bless our children in the long run. Because if we don't invest in our relationships, and I'm glad to see all of you here. I feel like you do want to grow in your relationship, but if we don't, we'll be a drag to our children instead of an encouragement, and also to the world around us. It's not just our children, it's bigger than that. The Christian faith needs to be a multi-generational faith. It needs to be more than just ourselves. It needs to include those around us. The kingdom of God is more than just our life. We need to invest in the next generation. And here in Deuteronomy, it talks about that. In verse 20, it talks about them having a personal relationship with God, but then passing that on to their children, and going on from there. So we need to start with ourselves, and then we can pass that on to those around us. And I've been talking about teaching our children and living out that example of how God would have us live, and that is very important. But not everyone is blessed with children. God is blessed in other ways, and everyone has a purpose in serving the greater kingdom, the bigger part of the picture. And when you have children, it takes a lot of your time. And I've thought already, if I didn't have so many children, I would have more time to work in the kingdom. So if you don't have children, there's still lots of work there. Recently, I'd met a man in business, and we're getting to know each other. And it was right before Christmas, and I think he said he had three children. Two of them are in college. They were coming home for the holidays, and he was talking about that. We're just getting to know each other, and he was saying that typically they come home, and him and his wife are excited to have the children home, but about 20 minutes into it, they're ready to send them back. And he was talking about just the normal things of life there, and he asked if I had any children. I said, yeah, I have seven. And then he just laughed. I said, well, you understand what I'm saying then. Children do take a lot of time and energy, and that's fine. I'm glad I'm where I'm at. But if you are childless, don't waste that opportunity to serve. There are plenty of people that are looking up to you. They're looking for role models. They're looking for a listening ear. If you just live your life serving God, you will be a blessing to those around you. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it talks about teaching those around you. It uses children here. Teach, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Wherever we go, we're that witness for God. We're building that building the kingdom. But it needs to start with our personal relationship with God. We need to start there. And our children and those around us are going to need to see marriage fleshed out, see how it works. Even if our children don't have the best example, or if we didn't have the best example, God can still work through that, and God will give the grace to start anew. But if we can give that good example to those around us, it'll make it that much easier for them. And there are, like I said, there are many around who are looking for an example, and it takes a set of parents, a husband and wife, biological or not, to accomplish that task. You can accomplish a lot more together as a couple than you can individually. And people are looking for a mentor, a parent at times. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Think about a father versus an instructor. Someone that really cares about those he's relating to. We've had a number of young men through our home, and they needed to hear from Wendy just as much as they did from me, and to see how a family works. One young man especially, he lived with us for a few months, and in his home that he grew up in was broken, and he didn't live in a family, but he was able to experience that, and we're very human. I made many mistakes when he was there, and that would sometimes bring me up short. If I was dealing with something and not dealing with it well, I would see him kind of sitting there grinning and watching. And it's okay to mess up. They need to see that we're human, and as long as we make it right and move forward. As a couple, life is real, and we need to show that to where we can build up others. And as a couple as well, thinking about building the kingdom in the communities around. We interact a lot with broken homes and single parent homes, and they're looking for support. They're looking for a listening ear, and just spending time with some of them and showing that there is hope in God's word. And the whole thing of it's transgender and all that, we deal with that some. And for a man and a wife to live according to God's word, it gives stability to these young people that are looking for answers in a messed up world. And yeah, in your marriages, don't go soft on God's teaching, on what the Bible teaches. Build the kingdom. God's word has the answers for all of life. And okay, maybe switching gears here just a little bit. In Mark 8:35, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Thinking about building the kingdom and thinking about sacrificing for the kingdom, I think sometimes that we might hold our marriages and our families higher than the body of Christ, and we try to, I'm not sure if I can say exactly how I'm feeling, but we try to preserve our families at all costs, our for what we would want, and not sacrifice for Christ's body. But sometimes we can end up losing it, like this verse here: "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Think about that in relation to our families. Too many families, sometimes you see them compromise in biblical things so that they can make it easier for their children, but end up the entire family drifts away from God. We need to live according to God's word. God's word is the only thing that endures to the end and not drift away from God's word simply to make it easier for our children, we think. But whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. God will give us the power to do that. Submitting to God's word, to submitting to his authority, and submitting to each other as couples, sometimes that can be very difficult. And, well, it is. We're human. That doesn't come naturally. But we are called to do that. And if there is a line there, if there's abuse happening, you do need to find help and deal with that in the correct way. But by and large, we're all human. There's different things that will irritate us about our spouse, and we need to overlook that, to help deal with it. I have a lot of rough spots, and my wife has a rough job of helping smooth those rough spots out, submitting to each other, to love each other regardless of that. Because if we chose to be married, and we are married, it's God's will that you stay married. It is what it is. We can't look back and change that. Because God does, most people, it is his will that they're married. For myself, I can see the blessing of being married. I was a very shy, backward person. I'm still somewhat that way. I'd rather be in a corner than anywhere else. But my wife has helped wear that rough spot off. And I often wondered why God went to all the effort to get us married. I'd met my wife at my brother's wedding when we were 20, somewhere in there. And I was very interested. But being the shy, backward person I was, and I liked my single life, and I was content with that. I did not pursue a relationship, and I kept thinking I should, but always found a good excuse not to. And till my dad and I, we were actually in Montana elk hunting one winter, and we'd set up camp, and then when we were going back in, it was quite a ways from the truck, we were walking back in, we got caught in a snowstorm. At first it was just a light snow, and we got partway in there, then it became a blizzard. We couldn't see anything. We got halfway lost and ended up spending all night there in this snowstorm. And the snow was well over our knees till morning, and we weren't prepared for it. We weren't sure if we were going to survive. But I made a promise that night that if I made it out alive, I'm going to call Wendy. I thought, I think God was working on me. So, so here we are, 20-some years later. And God has ways of getting us out of our ruts. I have no idea where I'd be in life if it wasn't for my wife. I had to wonder what that was all about. But God uses each one of us to shape and mold those around us. And, well, you're all married. You know how it is. It's not always easy. But it changes us, makes us more who God wants us to be. And I do believe that God led us together, Wendy and I, and he led each one of you together as well. Even if maybe if you had a different experience and your marriage has started out rocky, God can still bless that as you submit to each other and work together to build the kingdom. I go back to Ephesians 5. Verse 21, again, I think a lot of what I'm trying to portray here is that we need to submit to God and where God has had us so that we can build his kingdom, because it's more than just about us, about our relationship. It's about him. It's about Christ, about building his kingdom. And 21, submitting yourselves together in the fear of God. The fear of God, recognizing that God is our ultimate authority. And we live our lives under his direction. Verse 22 there talks, and that verse is probably more familiar to a lot of us than some of the others. wives submit yourselves. That is biblical. But sometimes we jump over 21, I think, and submitting yourselves one to another. It goes both ways. We are, as a married couple, we are a team together. We're not just one or the other in charge entirely. We take input from each other. And like Ralph said, we get input from our spouse. What would you like? And work it out together to bless each other. And the husband is not just the one in charge, and the wife is another one of the children. We work together, and we affect each other. Like I said, my personality is more of in the quiet, disappear. My wife is more outgoing, and we wear off on each other. I see that as we get older, we're getting more alike than we were. We change each other. And I think that is part of God's will in our lives, is to change, to help each other change and be more like what God wants us to be. But to bring this to a close, God is the giver of life. He is the giver of the life in your marriages, in each one of you. And together we can build the kingdom much more than we can each individually. We're a team working together to build God's kingdom. We're all created in the image of God, and let's go from here serving God and building his kingdom. That's the only institution that will last for all eternity is God's kingdom. Blessings to all of you.